Welcome to the Good Health Workshop, a show about health, nutrition, cleansing, and detoxification. We will support you where you are and encourage you to reach your health goals. Our purpose is to share information, raise your level of consciousness, and to keep you inspired to transform your life. My name is Donna Peroni, and today is my luckiest day ever because I have my very special guest.
Your engineer Lee's here.
You know I love you, Lee.
But
today we have Dr. Brian Clement of Hippocrates Health Institute. Brian has a PhD and he's a licensed nutritionist and has spearheaded the international progressive health movement for more than 3.5 decades. He is the director of the renowned Hippocrates Health Institute in Florida, the world's foremost complementary residential health center. Over the last half century, he and his team have pioneered disease prevention involving hundreds of thousands of participants who provided volumes of data, giving Brian a privileged insight into lifestyle choices that assist individuals in enhancing longevity and maintain vitality. Their experience has provided the basis for Hippocrates' progressive state-of-the-art treatments and programs for healthy living, their life transformation program. Brian Clement has written 20-plus books focused on health, spirituality, and natural healing. Among them are Living Foods for Optimum Health, Longevity, Life Force, which Dr. Colin Campbell calls one of the most important books ever written on nutrition. Supplements Exposed, published in 2010, reveals the pharmaceutical fraud rampant in the sales, productions, and distribution of worthless and harmful vitamin pills. Additionally, the first volume of Brian Clement's three-volume series, Food is Medicine, was published in 2012, along with his Seven Keys to Lifelong Sexual Vitality. Dr. Clement is a devoted husband and caring father of four, who, along with his wife Anna Marie Gans Clement, co-directs the Hippocrates Health Institute. In addition to his research studies, Mr. Clement conducts conferences worldwide on attaining health and creating longevity, giving humanity a roadmap for redirecting and enhancing their lives. Mr. Clement received a PhD in naturopathic medicine from the University of Science, Arts, and Technology and is a licensed nutritionist in the state of Florida.
My, that sounds like a busy person.
You are a busy.
It's exhausting to listen to my schedule. I want to go to sleep now.
You're throwing the four kids and raising them. Oh,
that's my favorite part, though. That's a highlight. Now I have four grandchildren, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a nice part.
It's amazing.
I love them, kiss them, and send them back.
Perfect.
Yes.
So it's so good to have you here. We had an event last night where Brian spoke for Accidental Wellness, my little health group here in New York, and we had a nice group, and you were right on.
I thank you. It's always fun to be in the city. You know, this is my roots are in this area, and I always say what I love about New York is the people. Hmm. And it's always easy to communicate with New Yorkers, and they are straightforward, ask the right questions, and hopefully I give them the good answers.
You did a great job last night. We had a nice long Q&A last night. Yeah. Very satisfying.
Good.
So, for the people who don't know you, I feel like everyone must know you, but I know some of our listeners probably are just hearing your voice for the first time. Can you share a little bit about what got you started in living a healthy lifestyle?
Well, I was, like many of the listeners out there, lost on the path of American lifestyle and grew up in a loving family, you know, and they always supported my body with a lot of food, too much food. And I became increasingly heavy, and it was an awkward time because there weren't too many really heavy people back when I was a kid. And what happened is my girlfriend's best friend's boyfriend was 10 years older than us. And he was a weirdo as far as I was concerned. He didn't eat meat, so I thought something had to be wrong with his sexuality, you know, because when we were kids, we were told you didn't eat meat, you weren't a man. He did yoga. I thought that was the strangest thing I ever saw. I couldn't even say the word yoga for the first 2 years. And wise was what I perceived him as. You know, somebody 10 years older, when you're 20 and they're 30, they seem like prophets. And he sat me down one day recognizing that I really loved my pet dogs. And I would hug them and kiss them and love them. And he said to me something that was stunning. It may sound silly to the listeners now. You're eating animals. And believe it or not, although that was my entire diet, milking them and eating them, I didn't get that. I thought this cellophane packaged red stuff was manufactured in Washington or something. And so I abruptly went to my girlfriend and said, we have to just get rid of the meat. And although I loved it, and one day I did that and struggled for 3 years to get rid of the dairy because I at least did the first step with moral justification. I didn't want to kill the animal anymore. The second one was a little hard. You know, milking them, I'm not really killing them, and I kept drinking it, and then gave that up, and I lost, you know, about 120 pounds in this entire process. And when I look back, it wasn't really about the biology. It was about the psychology. That what happened to me is I started to feel a sense of self and a sense of compassion and a sense of understanding that I never had before.
Beautiful. And this journey that you took led you to opening the Institute. And so how did that come about?
Well, the whole story is interesting. You know, I was living out in Oregon, southern Oregon, where it gets very warm. It doesn't rain where I was living practically ever. From May until about October, it could be 100 degrees every day. And I just naturally fell into, at that point being a vegan, to eating all raw food. And did it for 3 months and then woke up one day and said, hey, by the way, I haven't eaten anything cooked. And felt remarkable, just remarkable. It wasn't a plan. It was sort of a haphazard thing that really made a world of difference for me. And I recalled reading this really odd book from a woman called Ann Wigmore in Boston called Be Your Own Doctor. And I pulled it out and dusted it off and reread it. And at that time, my wife and I were planning on opening a health center on the Oregon coast. It was going to be a center that combined both activity, recreation, as well as a plant-based diet. And we said, you know, you'd never lived anywhere but on the West Coast, so let's go back east, live a year, and then come back and do this. And we picked Maine. And I was coming off a very long fast at that point. I was on a 40-day fast. And I said, let's go down and visit Ann Wigmore. You know, it was about 3 hours, 2.5, 3 hours from where I was residing in Maine. And I was asked to join the team, join the staff. And I had no intention. You know, it was Boston was snowy and cold, even worse than New York. And I said, no way am I going to do it. And I'm not one of these new age kind of guys that think I hear voices, but the only time I did hear a voice in my life is in the middle of the night. It said, you've got to do it. And reluctantly went in and did it, never looked back. That was 1975 or so. And within 3 years, they sent me to Europe to rekindle the raw food message in Europe. And I spent about 3 years over there, 3.5 years, and learned a lot and got the European understanding of natural lifestyle. And then came back in 1980, they asked me to direct Hippocrates. And I didn't know anything about directing, to be very candid with you, but I was ambitious. So I said, yes. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I have all these responsibilities and I had to learn. And it wasn't because I've ever been good at management. I guess common sense is what led me through. And now we have a team of 260 people that work with us. And so back in 1984, we brought a gentleman in who was sitting on the board of General Foods and General Motor, and he said, you're wonderful, you're great, Hippocrates is the best place in the world, but you're going to be out of business if you stay in godforsaken cold Boston. You know, people come here because they're sick and smart. And there are two kinds of people. Either they're very smart, they want to change lifestyles before they're ill, or they've been diagnosed as ill, many very, very ill. And he said, it's not a nice thing to drag them into Boston, you know, for 7 months a year. It's freezing here. So go out and look and find a location. And we looked all over the United States. And we chose between Santa Barbara in California and West Palm Beach, West Palm, and it's been brilliant down there for us. And right now, as we sit here and speak, we have people from 18 countries represented, and a few New Yorkers, too. We always have New Yorkers, too, and people from the East Coast.
Well, this brings us to our quote for the show, which is a quote from Hippocrates: natural forces within us are the true healers of disease. So my next question is, what is your philosophy?
It pretty much follows the father of Western medicine, Hippocrates, because we believe that everything is really brought about by you. That, you know, what we've lost in our culture today is responsibility. And we are dependent upon others for our health. And that is a dangerous scenario. To give an example, in the United States, 1 out of 7 people take at least one pharmaceutical drug. Now, listen closely to what I'm saying, people. That means men, women, and children. And many, many children are part of this statistic. 1 out of 7 of us take at least one pharmaceutical drug. That means we're not being responsible for our lifestyle. Number two is 50% of Americans take 2, and only 1% of people at 70 years old, only 1% do not take pharmaceutical drugs, and the average amount for the 99% is 5 medicines. We take the most narcotic drugs in the world. We consume, as the United States citizens, 80% of the narcotic drugs in the world, and I don't think most people understand what health is. You know, they don't realize that we really are not happy unless our body and our mind is functioning the way it ought to.
So I think we're going to take a break now, and we'll be right back with more of the Good Health Workshop. Welcome back to the Good Health Workshop, and I'm Donna Peroni, and I'm here talking to Dr. Brian Clement, and I had asked you a little bit about your philosophy. I just love hearing you talk because there's just, it's like listening to an encyclopedia. You know, your brain is just goes right to giving so much information, but I really would love to know, like, in terms of the, your philosophy in terms of Hippocrates.
Well, at Hippocrates, our whole process is to educate people and arm people with the ability to make good choices. And so when you're there with us, not only do we have state-of-the-art therapies and treatments and a diet that's impeccably good with integrity that builds the immune system, but we're educating. You have a choice to take up to 40 hours of classes a week. And so Anne Wigmore, our founder, back in the 50s, 60 years ago, basically knew that what was wrong with the health system that we had, it's not health care, it's the health system we had, is that it made dependency. So we create independence by educating people. And, you know, my job, interesting enough, is to make it so that alumnus or guests who graduate from Hippocrates no longer need us. I want to be the opposite of the system we have today. And we are the healthcare system. What's out there is crisis management systems. And, you know, it's all about a pill. And even the alternative end, let's be very honest with you, most of that's pills and injections. It's not really lifestyle. If you know, when I talk to so-called holistic medical doctors, the vast majority of them are just pretty much telling you that they have a remedy for you rather than you've got to be responsible, you've got to take charge. And that's really why we need to change. And I think we are changing. You know, I'm an optimist. I see the difference between 43 years ago when I began my work and today. And I travel constantly. And I see many, many more people embracing the reality that the systems that we've been taught to believe in and trust are broken. They don't work. They're not functional. And they're not sustainable. And the economics of it alone makes it unsustainable. So if you do start to take a child at a very young age and educate her and teach her that she's got to exercise and she's got to eat good food and she's got to have a great attitude and mom and dad supports her or him in what they love, rather than you've got to do hard work, you've got to work, you've got to, even if you have to suffer, you know, that's the American way. It's not about suffering. You know, this country's become a great country because we didn't suffer. And today we're starting to suffer because we've lost our heart and souls.
And that leads me to my next question, because the world just seems very complicated to me. And we're told that people are living longer, yet I'm seeing more and more sick people. You were mentioning that in terms of the amount of prescription drugs people are on today. But within my own lifetime, I'm just noticing that younger and younger children even are getting cancer, developing heart disease, are obese, are diabetic. And I was just wondering, you know, why this is happening and what your impression is.
Let's start by giving some statistics. Many of the listeners are unaware of these statistics. 2 out of 3 people contracting type 2 diabetes, which when I was young was called adult onset diabetes, literally are children below 18. Cancer, the number one killer of our babies below 5 now is brain cancer. The number one killer of our children, other than accidents, below 18, is brain cancer and leukemia. When you look at heart disease, when they do autopsies on poor little children that die for some reason, they find out that well over half of them have the very significant cardiovascular disease already seated in themselves. So this is not something that is philosophical. This is very much scientifically valid at this point. So what we do is we make people understand in a very simple and pure way, not academic way, not some abstract way, that, you know, what you put in your mouth and swallow has a major, major, major role in your longevity and your health. We also show them that the human body up until 5 generations ago was always used. You know, people were nomads to begin with, and then farmers, agricultural people. And we used our bodies. We stretched. You know, today we have to go to gyms and do that. And we did aerobic exercise, and we weightlifted. And today most of us sit on our butts with clickers in our hands looking at 800 TV channels. We sit in offices, and if you look at the World Health Organization, they just put a study out recently that showed that people who sit all day long in a job for 30 years will reduce their lifespan by between 5 and 7 years. And so even getting up every 30 minutes and standing up and down is going to make a big difference with that. It cuts it by 3-4 years. But walking around, some of the new tables that you can now stand up at your job, ask your employer, buy one of these for yourself. So there's so much that we're learning. And the good news is there's a lot of competent research being done outside of the United States more than here, because pretty much we are controlled in the United States by the pharmaceutical cartel. And so many of the good studies you don't really see published in mainstream journals, and you don't hear them reported on the news. But the fact is that in my wife's country of Sweden, it's almost as if we're funding the research. It's almost 70% alternative or holistic at this point. Just today, as a matter of fact, Dr. Anna Maria is interviewing the top authority in the world who's worked for 30 years on cell phones, degradation of the brain. And so that will be in our upcoming magazine, Heal Our World magazine, that all the listeners can subscribe to for free, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're exposed to, 100,000 environmental toxins, pollution.
Well, more than that, actually.
Yeah.
Every single year, there's 2,000 brand new chemicals that are made that didn't exist a year ago. So 2015, we'll have 2,000 brand new chemistries that the body doesn't know what to do with, the environment doesn't know what to do with. And the problem with this one, Donna, is that it mixes with the hundreds of thousands of others that are there and makes billions of other chemicals, because 1 or 2 or 10 chemicals together spawn other chemistries, and we don't even have any concept of what they are. What is a pharmaceutical drug, Prozac, doing with an antibiotic? Well, both chemistries are going to create another chemistry or 20 chemistries, and boy, that must be dangerous. We don't even know. And what I'm seeing in the work that I've done for all this time is a lot of symptomology that we know are people consuming in their waters, the pharmaceutical drugs that don't break down for nearly 100,000 years, and having symptoms that nobody knows. Even the best doctors in the world can't diagnose these things.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's very unclear how these electromagnetic fields are affecting us, and that's becoming more and more prevalent, especially here in New York City.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I think the plan is to have some sort of little tower on every block.
Well, it's interestingly enough, it's not only that.
apparently they're substituting what they call smart meters. Oh, I don't know if you have that in Florida.
I guess here we do.
Now, my son, he has his place up in the country, and he just was feeling really sick, couldn't figure out what's happening, couldn't sleep at night, and just no energy. Comes to find out he's got a smart meter, and he put it together, all the symptoms that he started researching. The power companies, they won't even change it, and if you decide to put in an analog meter, they will cut off your power.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, fortunately he found something online that is supposed to dissipate the signal.
Which
has helped him, actually, since he put that together.
Well,
unbelievable.
So that you know, we're on the subject of smart meters. Literally, it comes out of Pentagon technology, so you know that.
Right. They can track you anywhere.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And so some places in the world, they give you an opt-out, but you have to pay more money not to be zapped by a smart meter.
Right.
Wow. So that's
They won't hear.
No. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So New York makes you get zapped.
We just found out we have one, and we just actually came in the mail yesterday. We got the appliance to put over it to dissipate it and ground it.
You didn't even know you had a smart meter because you weren't smart enough to know that.
Exactly.
Most of us.
Yeah. The smart meter took my smartness away.
I know. That's what the plan is, maybe.
Yes, but the other problem, my two neighbors – yeah. Because they go a long distance.
Yes.
And apparently we would be affected by that. So I am actually going to offer to pay for the appliance for my neighbors to put on that because I don't, you know, even though I put it on mine, it's not, you know, it can still affect me. Theirs.
Yeah. Can you imagine in a city how much of the zapping you're getting?
Unbelievable.
So there's so much, just the average person would have to commit so much of their time and energy to being aware of these things, and we live in a society where we were supposed to trust that
the government's watching out for you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a colleague and I created a web presence and information channel on the internet called therealtruthabouthealth.com. Mm-hmm. And we've been holding yearly conferences. The last year, 2014, we were here in New York City, as you know, at Times Square. This year, we're going to have a 10-day conference, and it's completely free. We've now decided to liberate the economics so that every man, woman, and child that's interested can come. It's going to be in Orlando, Florida, between the 23rd of May to the 31st of May. We're going to have 23 truth tellers, experts that have the courage to stand up, not in the pockets of corporate interest, and tell you the truth. Many of these people, like Dever Davis, who you know, was President Clinton's head scientist and is the number one advocate in this country against use of cell phones and understands this technology. And we learned something last year here in New York when she showed films of young girls who hold cell phones in their bras. Then they have a rare form of cancer that Stanford and University of California have identified coming from the batteries of the cell phones. Young boys. Now, there's been Yale studies as well as Essex University over in England. When you put in your pocket a cell phone, within 30 seconds, you have a 40% reduction, 30 seconds of sperm. And so a lot of this infertility we have may be coming from this and smart meters and everything else.
Wait a minute. That's the new male pill.
How do you like that? I know. It's Navagra.
So my next question is, you know, that we see a lot of people living on junk food, excessive animal protein, sugar, caffeine, alcohol. People are overworked, underpaid, stressed out, and exhausted. There are so many on prescription drugs, recreational drugs, and antidepressants. There are so many reasons and ways to check out. I believe that people want more than just existing and getting through the day. People get stuck. Your comments.
We are stuck. Get off the treadmill. I did. And I've been very successful, by the way. I have a viable lifestyle. I've been able to bring up children. And I do what's right. And you don't have to do what's wrong. And you don't have to hurt yourself. And you don't have to shorten your lifespan. You can be happy if you just find your passion and follow it. Have the courage to find who you are and do what you want.
Amazing. Well said. You know, people can come to Hippocrates who are sick.
Yes.
I know that it's amazing that if they can walk there, they can get there, and they can get to the buildings, then you'll take them, is my understanding.
Absolutely.
Which is really amazing. And, you know, what can people expect to experience? I know you mentioned some of the things earlier, but can you tell us a little more?
Well, we work an awful lot. Everyone gets psychotherapy because we realize if you don't change your mind, people do not change their destiny. They don't create the reality of self-responsibility. But number two, and probably most important for this conversation, is that our entire solo objective is to get the immune system to once again function. Nobody gets well from the Hippocrates diet or modern medicine. What we do at best is provoke the immune system to activate and to heal you. So food does not directly heal you. Food enhances the immune function, which fights the disease and prevents the disease, as well as premature aging. And so we've become quite acutely expert in this over the last 60 years, since our founder was told she was going to die of colon cancer by the Harvard doctors back in 1952, and opened the doors of Hippocrates in the mid-50s, and have watched this in a clinical setting. Unlike a lot of philosophers and people who write health books that become popular because they have great publishers, we do clinical research on human beings and have done so since the 1950s. And with lifestyles that have incredible amounts of nutrient load in it and oxygen and enzymes and electromagnetic frequency, people can come back to life. We've seen it. Thousands of people. So if you got on the Hippocrates website, there's a touch of a sampling of the tens of thousands of people who have brought about a change, including me, no less.
And, I know when you speak, oftentimes I think people expect that you're going to talk the whole time about living foods, raw foods, but you often will really talk a lot about the emotional component, the spiritual component. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, in terms of when people get sick, how they may be not addressing their emotional and spiritual health in certain ways, and how that contributes to getting sick.
Well, I think the emotional person is what directs and dictates the state of well-being on a body and mind level. How you perceive your reality is who you're going to be. So if you perceive yourself as a weakened person, a sick person, without values, without virtues, without a direction, confused, in a bad marriage, bad relationships, you don't like your job, you're pretty much trying to check out in some ways. And so we've got to change that pattern, that habitual pattern. And by putting in your hands, for instance, the tools of good food, it's almost like a mantra where when you're picking it up, and I hated this food to begin with, so you understand that. I never ate a vegetable in my life. I would eat it, but my mind would say, this is good for you. And my grandmother's voice would come into my mind where she'd say, well, take it. It's medicine. Even though it tastes bad, it's good for you. And that was a great lesson for me as a child. And this became a medicine. And before you know it, the body started to sing and dance and say, finally, he's feeding me. And then the mind switched because the cells in the body talk to the mind as well as the mind speaks to the body. We used to think the opposite. 1996, the Nobel Prize was awarded to two guys that showed that neurons from the nervous system of the body dictate what happens in the mind. I just brought on board, he's joining us in March, Dr. Aziz, who when he got out of medical school, he literally was working with the NIDH to look at the effect of positive thought on the immune system. And after leaving that research at the NIH, National Institute of Health, he's lived in four countries and worked at universities as a professor and repeated that study and found out consistently that one quarter increase, 25% average increase in your immune function just by having good positive thoughts.
Wow. Yeah. So we are going to take a break now and we'll be right back with more with Dr. Brian Clement.
New York Talk Radio,
You're listening to the Good Health Workshop, and I'm here with Dr. Brian Clements. And I just wanted to take a moment to give you some details about how you can learn more about Brian. If you are interested in going to Hippocrates, just researching it more, you can go to their website at HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. You could also call at 561-471-8876. And if you wanted to look into the free event in May in Orlando, you can check that out as well. And Brian has a multitude of videos on this website that they can just, you know, just immerse themselves in at therealtruthabouthealth.com. So wanted to just ask you a little more about these books that you've written, so many of them. Like, what has been behind Killer Fish, Killer Clothes, Supplements Exposed?
Well, I'm actually psychotic. No. You know, I look at the landscape of either the lack of information or misinformation, and I try to fill the void. You know, by default, I became the world's leading expert on supplements now. So when the major national channels want an expert, they bring me on, and they're surprised because they don't read books. They just look at the title. So they think I'm going to condemn supplements. But what I'm saying is that only 9% are great. And by the way, I take a lot of whole food supplements every day. But 91% are dangerous for you. Killer clothes. People don't realize that they may be eating good organic diets, they may be exercising, having great happy lives, and wearing polyester and nylon. In that book, for instance, Anna Marie and I exposed that there's two landmark studies that show that women that wear man-made fibers, for instance, polyester or nylon, have 6 times greater chance of breast cancer. I think that should be known. You know, testicle cancers with men, and on it goes. And what that does to the environment and the slave labor so that you can go buy inexpensive clothing here in North America and Europe, shame on us for it. And what it does to the world. When you look at killer fish, you know, even the, quote, alternative types out there yelling and screaming how wonderful fish and fish oil is. Well, it's not. It's carcinogenic. And I'm not making these stories up. There's such solid science on this. I'd go and debate any doctor anywhere in the world and win the debate. Because when you take a fish out of the water within a matter of 20 to 30 minutes, the oil in it becomes rancid. And that's called a lipid peroxide. That's a known carcinogen for six decades, I should say. I mean, and it goes on. You know, now I've just finished my latest book, Dairy Deception. I looked at eggs. Nobody wrote about eggs. One egg has 230 grams of cholesterol. 90% of the eggs, including, quote, organic eggs, have campylobacteria in it, a very dangerous bacteria. I was actually told by somebody in California, and I won't name names, has the largest dairy, organic dairy in the world. They spent $18 million and had to give up the idea of selling eggs because they couldn't get their sterile conditions to be clean enough not to have that bacteria in their eggs. Milk and dairy, I mean, my God, direct links to every form of cancer, osteoporosis, arthritic conditions, asthma. I know that personally because when I became a vegan, my asthma went away that I suffered with from the time I was born. My eczema went away within 2 months. After I got rid of the dairy food. And so I'm on a relentless path to give information to people. And people need to know the truth. And what you're being soft-pedaled today as alternative health care, most of it is very moderate, sissy-like baloney. It's nothing that really talks about truth.
So you're saying that I shouldn't have the fish fillet sandwich that I heard advertised this week on Channel 4 as a healthy alternative.
Alternative to what?
Well, and that leads me to another question, which is that a lot of people, I mean, you know, I do, as you know, I'm a colonic therapist, and I,
you see it firsthand.
I get to see it firsthand, you know, it's really gone. And people come in and say, oh, I eat my fruits and vegetables, and after a session, I'm like, you need to triple the amount of vegetables that you're eating
exactly.
in your diet.
That's all you should
do. I want the tube to look green.
You got it.
That's, you know, and when they come in and I see that, I'm like, they're total cheerleader.
Is it true when you have a green tube, you have a dance, you have music and dance, and you have That's great.
Yeah. So I'd love for you to address that, because now there seems to be a new trend of, like, you can start eating more cholesterol-rich foods like eggs, and there's the paleo diet that people have moved on to. And there's it's very confusing because there's so many opinions.
Well, there's a lot of non-scientific jargon that sell books out there, and a lot of confused people who are lost without virtues who basically follow these things. I've sat back for all these decades and watched every 3 to 5 years we have a new trend, the blood type diet, the Atkins diet, you know, and on it goes. And lost people who don't really put their feet down, as I did, you know, when I wanted to become a professional in health, I went to Hippocrates Health Institute. There's no institute in the history of humanity that has done 6 decades and research on human beings with a plant-based diet. You know, most people in the world eat plant-based diets. We're the sickest nation in the world among others who eat the way we do. And the list goes on. If we were unsuccessful and not correct on what we were doing, why then would tens of thousands of people tell us that by living this way on a healthy plant-based organic diet, they've recovered from a plethora of disease and disorder?
And this leads me to another question, which is that I find when I start to talk to people about juicing and maybe sprouting, you know, I see a lot of raw food people, and they're missing that piece. Yeah. It's so, like, they can't go the extra mile to
goji berries, chocolate, agave syrup.
And, you know, there's this, like, blank look that comes over their face, like, oh, I can't do that. Or so people are... Wherever they're at, there's a level of denial. I think we all do it in our lives in general, but can you address that a little bit?
Well, you know, all of us are territorial, and, you know, we're willing to do things on our own terms, but we're not often willing to do what's absolutely blatantly correct. I mean, I was the same, and I keep improving, and I keep trying to force myself to be more and more open-minded. And as I open my mind more, I connect more with reality. And it's that simple. It's hard. And maybe you can take baby steps when you're dealing with people, as I do on a daily basis, sick, very sick people. You can't take a meandering walk down the trail. You've got to learn to get on the wild horse and tame it, because you may not be here if you don't do that. And so there's two kinds of people. And I congratulate anyone that's trying to improve. I'm not here to beat you up, or Donna's not here to beat you up. Thank you. But we're trying to clarify what the maximum level of benefit would be versus, you know, minimal benefits. Giving up meat and dairy and taking up lots of fruit, or, by the way, even agave syrup, which is highly dangerous sugar. It's worse than white sugar. You know, one of the presentations I'm going to be making tomorrow will literally be on sugar for 2 hours. Mm. All the latest data. My new book I began 5 weeks ago to write, called Sweet Disease, it will have chapter after chapter with all the overwhelming data and research from major universities around the world of each disease and how sugar, including fruit sugar, feeds that disease. But is it much better to take that step than to eat, you know, the kind of American diet or Western diet we are? And the answer is yes. So congratulations. Just keep moving. Keep moving. Mm. We never know enough.
Yeah, I mean, this year I lost my mother in April, and it's interesting because I'm always, you know, going to the gym, doing my yoga several times a week, but I've allowed myself a space for the grief and processing the emotions, and it's made my exercise sort of take a backseat. And then there's this guilt that comes up, you know, because I'm always looking
That's from your mother,
perfection.
Looking down.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm always, you know, I'm always trying to keep that balance of just, you know, having my juice and my salads and, you know, thinking happy thoughts. And I just last week just went back to the gym, and I went twice, and it was like, oh, like myself again.
Yeah.
So
well, the loss of a mother is powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost my mother several years ago. She was a wonderful mother, a good human being, and I think of her 100 times a day. And so I'm sorry for that loss. Mm. And it's good you gave time to grief, because that was the woman that carried you for 9 months.
Yes. And I think in our lives in general, if you're like me and you're a little type A, you have to gauge it. Yeah, I'm a little type A. You have to gauge each day what you can do, what's obtainable in your goals. I mean, before I go to sleep at night, I think about what I achieved that in the day,
yes.
And it helps me to calm down instead of thinking about what I haven't accomplished yet. And that really helps me a lot.
And that's a good message you're giving the listeners, because really we have to give time for our progress. We go to sleep at night and we're thinking all the negative things, what we haven't done, what's bad, the problems. Get over that stuff. Most of you succeed in almost everything you do.
Right. It's a good thing. So I would love, love, love for you to share a little bit about your favorite healing stories that you've witnessed.
You know, there's so many, and I think it's whenever you ask the question, it's who I'm thinking of. The other day I was in Philadelphia speaking, and a gentleman in his 60s stood up in front of the group and talked about what happened to him. He was diagnosed 3 years ago with liver cancer. He then immediately went on a transplant list from the University of Pennsylvania, and his friend told him about Hippocrates. He came down, got on the program, and was tested. 6 months after he was tested, the doctor said, "We have to retest you because we can no longer find cancer." And that was 3 years ago. He's been tested 8 or 9 times since. The cancer's remained gone. Now, bottom line is, when you see these type of things and recognize that with liver cancer, there's virtually a zero success rate, that if he did get a transplant, he'd shorten his life. And thank God, doctors do transplants today. So there's a good part of modern medicine. It's not as if, you know, it's always bad all of the time, because most people don't make the changes. And so he did, and no longer needs a transplant. Last night here in New York City, you know, attractive, young, wonderful nurse, who's working at one of the good hospitals here in this area, came to us a couple of years ago with multiple sclerosis, which, again, has a zero success reversal as far as mainstream medicine's talking about. And within 9 days, she was off her crutches, which it's unique. That doesn't happen all of the time. And she's been diagnosed by the top doctors in the New York area on MS, no longer to be. With multiple sclerosis, to be in total remission of that. You know, and the children, you know, the children always touch me as a father and a grandfather. And I've seen so many of the children. We had a little Native American girl from Canada come to us recently. And it was really amazing. I went to a group and spoke to 300 Natives up there, indigenous people, on the border of the United States. And this little girl spoke about how she wanted to heal naturally. She no longer wanted the poison to go into her body. Well, she was just told a month ago by the Toronto Cancer Hospital for Children, pediatric hospital, she's free of cancer. And she did it. And, you know, and the mother was so beautiful, she actually filmed it. She went and got tested, and a week and a half later, she filmed the little girl and said, "Well, today I got a message from, you know, from the hospital." And you could see the poor little girl, the 10-year-old girl, was just, she didn't want to breathe. And she filmed the whole thing. Mm. And she said, they said, "Honey, that you're completely free of cancer." Mm. And the girl, first thing she did is she looked at the sprouts that were behind her, that she cut, she grew herself and cut every day. And that was part of the healing. It's not only the sprouts, though. It's the courage to be human. Mm. It's the courage to go beyond your limitations and to break down and to destroy your fears. And, you know, we've got a world today that most of us are not alive and not living because we are compromised by the system that wants you to be under control. Take charge of your life. Give yourself the freedom that you don't think you have.
Beautifully said. The most extraordinary story I think I've heard of was Bethany's story. I know that you were in the film.
Yes.
You were interviewed a little bit there at one of the festivals, but she was in a wheelchair for several years and was told she'd never walk again after having I don't want to speak too much because I'm not an authority on what happened to her, but people should see that movie. Brian is in it. She was able to walk and completely 100% was fine just by adopting a raw foods diet.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, this is what we see. And, you know, the listeners out there, if you're facing some problem, have the courage to try this. It's not going to work 100% of the time for everyone, but my God, if it gives a potential for you to get even a bit better, no less thousands of people who have brought about complete recovery, why not do it?
Absolutely.
And sadly, what's sad for me is I watch so many, quote, health professionals on both sides, not only the mainstream side but the alternative side, poo-poo these things. Say, well, you know, how can food possibly change? Well, food is the most important thing in your life to boost your body, your immune system, to give you what I call the pathway to awareness and consciousness. That's why every major philosophical, religious theology in the history of man talks about food and plant-based food.
And to finish up, because we're running out of time, can you share a little bit more about your books coming out, projects,
well,
research?
What I've been really excited about for 3 years, and this year we're going to put it to pass. I'm working with the leading physicist, quantum physicist in the world in Russia. I just brought in the leading biofrequency doctor from Germany. I've become friends with him now. And they're assisting me to finish my book, Quantum Human Biology, that's going to give the entire new paradigm for healthcare in the future, that we're going to peel away the facade that we're biology and show that we're really electromagnetic frequency that, by the way, is connected to this endless universe that's even invisible. And so the entire future of healing and recovery and healthcare will eventually be consciousness and connectivity with all good living things.
Beautiful. And you have a book coming out called, or that is out now, called Dairy Deception.
Yeah, Dairy Deception I think everyone should read because, you know, we're so convinced dairy is good. And we have an entire chapter that shows you it's one of the major causes of osteoporosis, which is the opposite of what you're told.
Beautiful. It's been so wonderful having you here today. I'm the luckiest woman ever.
Well, I'm lucky too.
And I hope that you'll come back again and do this again. I know you visit us in New York, and stay warm while you're here.
Yeah, nice to be with you. It's always warm here in the heart.
I want to thank Lee, our engineer, today, and New York Talk Radio for allowing me this opportunity, and I'd like to also thank Pete Calandra for his music.
To learn more about when Donna is holding her wellness classes, go to accentonwellnessnyc.com. And to visit her wellness center in New York City, go to gravityeastvillage.com or call 212-388-9788. That's 212-388-9788.